Image, one illustration that had a big impact on me when I was growing up was the March of Progress. You all know that image where the seven figures in a row, starting with the ape and going all the way up to Homo sapiens sapiens, with Neanderthal man and Cro-Magnon man and all these people in between. So I suppose it was an image that had an impact on me because in one drawing it explained evolution or tried to explain evolution. So I've been kind of thinking about that for the last week or so, and I've been writing a few poems about it. This poem is called Neanderthal Man, and you all know about Neanderthal Man. They coexisted with humans, but died out. So, Neanderthal Man. These are the last few stretches of moorland. Beyond that, I think it's the sea. If I follow the coastline for 2 days, I know there was a tribe of us in the hills nearby. My father brought me there when I was young, teaching me the patterns of the land, showed me the boundary lines with the humans, agreed in stone before the gods. I moved swiftly below the grasses. My stocky feet tread only at night. They travel in bands. I watch out for them, flailing their spears stolen from us. They use the boundary stones to attack us. Their hairless chests, their painted eyes. I break onto the beach when the moon is covered. Someday I know they will turn on themselves.
Margaret, agus an eis Angus O'Dolly.
Margaret, when a son of Hannah Blair passed my daughter as grief Sean of me, Margaret. Sean was on pain. It's about There's words in Irish, clippera, kind of it's a thing that annoys you, clippera. It's kind of like a thorn or something annoys you. So it's just messing around with this word a while back, and here it is, show me. Clippera ciart, clip clap, I curished off art. Lanab glorach, no ban coroch. Pricing tail and William Dolas and Clippera Avuka Shakan Cassandra Igbogart Snowden Lesh Savil Fi Kelt Gan Aaron Kesht Nadini Maha Igaval Doing Anum Day Igchapt Kuing and Clippera Ishtig Firmud A No Saint Kyart Gala No Gan Bakant Lesh Fish Intna Trumly a chocklesh, fwintje siha, fwintje finov, fwintje tinnis, mun at lachter lesh. Shine kjol crocket scale, scrib dawn o aver oran, dousa gyal id nyantna sihig, banap dea a gval lesh. Emin clippaha, on clippy cat. Shine, Margaret.
Margaret Angus, now we have a Bernadette McCarthy piece.
Thanks. I was working on an excavation in Tipperary a couple of weeks ago, and in the evening when we were finished work, we went into the bogland, which didn't belong to anyone in particular, to try and look for the medieval site of Derry na Flam. And this is what happened. Commonage. The rustling map seemed sure that the railway led to the churches, but the black peat had taken it for its own, ironing out the seams for bog ore. So harmless in our skirts, we chose a metal track that canted us into the sun as we entered a piebald world with a pony at every turn. Companionable mares hung heads over dry stone walls while colts still tethered, eyes averted. Stacks of turf rose but did not hide the flash of caravans, crude as pig iron, white as blistering skin. And yet we strolled on loving ponies, yours a well-heeled dun, mine seek scraps of brass from a sorry face. We met them then, against the sun, one rangy leaning on a slon, lug in his golden head, long arms to wield the spade. The other bulking bronze in his vest, whose terrier trotted up, a Belfast sink, slavering on my hand. The tall one did the talking, directing us through gates, while the other muzzled teased the rosary round his neck. Later in the pub, amidst Toby jugs and knick-knacks, we praised the churches, then the ponies, but the shared ground was cut, and one man spoke up as the crowd went dead. Stay away from them ponies, they're a common breed, he said.
Thank you, Bernadette. And August Anish, Corby Fodger with Louis Balcahi.
I have one here and I have a translation. A law galu fadun. Rowan in law of a gum, yes, before the vision of Doris Cousin. Cunis, Suinis, Dordoy, Chalur, Yas, Hockers, the Homer. Yon log of other Fallock, Agus Mulliver, or Lumber in Ever in the Fede, a law galu fadun. And some, Gant Quinne, Yoig Matlandi, Dishlig and Glover in Midainur, or in the Shas of Sidonis. Being blah by Yeshit Boy. Yev Katua Sirhi, Lots the Sui of Uhina, or Lunner in the Graina, or Spare the Kraken Orga. Gonna call Leoner Ihidike, Nean on three shot and then a bot in the cave, a law galley bado. A rare, as may a chocto hal halar, the clown orb and Nean on oo, Winnegan get Ikena Asim, nor the barricaded, Dinnigan blows and fool will they, Cunigan tinnel bacosta, I guess Knuckerishti, Faramachdom, Pigamani hishdiggy holla and airport, on green lushkin, scald like a sickalock lawn, blowing a lane, a crabbit in his own lawn, it's my full of contesca reached, Maravis, and law gallon fado. This is the translation of that of the Lord of the Irish. That bright day, spade in hand, earthing up potatoes, ears alert for the front door slam, heard only summer peace, bees, and the low, close gurgle of secluded pigeons, an occasional vague bark, and the murmuring moan of a mowing machine on that bright day so long ago. Then all sound shrank, the frail flower still had turned towards something vaguely sensed. For in that doorway, framed in russet, she stood gazing, shaming summer's colours with green eyes, light as the smiling sun, sun that shone from the golden face beneath the long red hair. At 22 years, with baby of 22 days in arms, quietly looking out, a marvel to lighten the heart, constrict the throat, dissolve the mind as it did on that bright day so long ago. Yesterday, at midnight, coming from a visit to that long-grown baby, sounds faded again and engines eased to a halt under a moon-mirrored sun. For framed again, amidst wild flowers, springing to life at midnight in the airport concourse, was that golden girl, green-eyed still, red hair gone grey, quietly looking up for one all set for husbandry, as she did on that bright day so long ago.
But I know I'd like to welcome up to the stage Munster's, well, one of Munster's finest poets and publishers, who recently celebrated his 21st.
Twenty-one more years.
The Edinburgh Fringe Festival is just over for another year. They broke all records. They sold just over 2 million tickets in 4,000 shows over 300 venues. And they had a competition for the best joke, the best one-liner of the festival. And there was a short list of it. I swear to God, this is true. There was a short list of 100, and then they narrowed it down to 10. And then hundreds or maybe thousands voted on the 10. And the joke that won it was, "I think I'm going to give up my vacuum cleaner. All it's done for years is gather dust." I swear, I'm not joking. Anyway, my poem is set at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and I think it's hopefully a lot more funnier than the joke this one thing. At the Edinburgh Fringe. In the disused haggis factory, a technician tells us to get our bloody kid off the fucking stage, that he needs more help, that yes, it is a great event, but he's overworked, underpaid. We rig ourselves back home, so no stranger we rig here too. The techie is shaking his head now. "Listen, mate, the action takes place in the spots where we can light you, okay?" He had an opera here last night, he says, and two nights before that, some bollocks is from Australia who nearly set fucking fire to the place, recreating some ritual from the Aussie bush. My fellow thespian is tired. He met a bit of a bush himself last night. I tell him to buck himself up, that he's got our careers, our act on the line here. All our bleeding flyers get soggy, standing like we do in the rain, delivering and manoeuvring pats inside thick, rich crowds. Yeah, rich bastards. Like most space, the arbiters are the poor ones. The man who looks like a priest in civvy stops, smiles, looks us up and down, gives a just a not serious look, Irish style, smiles again, and promises to come tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Noel. I mean, it's great that everybody's keeping it to one poem or one poem with a translation if necessary. That's really good. You know? while I was saying that, I was trying to work out the name of the next person. I can't do it, actually. Is it Brian? Yes. Brian?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. All right. That's Brian
Crotty. Brian Crotty.
Yeah.
Brain quality, everybody.
Yeah. I have two very, very sharp poems, and they're actually connected. It's about two different types of teachers that I had as a young boy in school. One was to encourage very much so, the other was to discourage very much so. The first poem is called Count Dracula. Walking to school, Bukulbjog, Ekshul, Ekshul. Sack on back, not a clue. Late today, broken rule. Christian brother asks why. Neil is a gun, boy replies. Swift inside, black soutane, leather strap, burning hands, traumatized. Crazy eyes, swinging wild, For now, he's satisfied.
Wow.
The second poem, sorry about this, it's a teacher of mine called Jimmy Fitzpatrick, a very old gentleman, and I call this Talking to Dead Poets. Little boy, tell me, what does the poet mean? Little boy, explain to me his dream. Who is he talking to? Is it to me, little boy? Maybe he talks to you. His hands behind his back, staring from top of class. Chewing tobacco, always chewing tobacco. Strong smell of whiskey too. Jimmy, my old English teacher, trying hard to get through. Little boy, what's he saying? What's the poet saying? Is he sad? A little melancholy? Unrequited love, perhaps? Alas, it's only now that I can understand my master and his poetry, a gentle Ramoy man. Thank you.
Gormod, afraid. And now we have Hassan, please.
Thank you very much. This poem's called The Watchtower. The Watchtower in the Dynasty of the Titans, left in a gyre around the kingdom, built by ancient powers in the dark age of stardust and cannonball. Prometheus was sent to steal the fire, but this relic is far too clever. An illusionist showing you the flame, owning it was never in his endeavor. Now the Titans are extinct, and God's away on business. Man is occupied with love interests. Nothing is in need of watching. This structure is left empty, left to gaze at the heavens, left to watch the legends unfold. Will Orion catch the Sister Seven? Will Hercules have another battle? Will Atlas ever break his back? And will Orpheus ever turn back? Yes, this statue is left to think. And rode away, infested with nothing but reflection. Thank you.
Welcome to Cork, Fergus Costello.
Temporary for the last 35 years. What a thing. I was at the session last night with my friends playing killer tunes. This fella came up to me, he said, "Would you do the Galway Gal?" No, I said, "I'm afraid not. I don't know that song, and sorry about that." "You do," he said, "pardon, you do," he said. "Everybody knows the Galway Gal. E-I-E-I-A. Excuse me, I listen here, fella," I said. "Did my friends put you up to this?" "No," he said, "really? Are you pissed?" "No," he said, "I don't drink." "Well, good for you, fella," I said. "Well, it's like this, yeah, sure," I said. "Of course I know the Galway Gal, written by Steve Earle, recorded by Monday with the Sharon Shannon band. The same Galway Gal that is a near uncertainty on the set list of every ragged title. Half house, kiss my house, toppings, havens, God help us, God awful, take them all out and mercifully shoot them now. No hope. Fork tried, banded, or crawl off one stone. Same poor old Foster Conway girl that is dragged out every night of the week in pubs up and down the country. Gonna richly mourn her in the name of Irish entertainment. Of course I know about my goddess. Hadn't been living in Mogadishu for the last 20 years. What I'm saying to you is, yeah, I don't know the words of the Galway girl. I'm really sorry about that. You did, he said, pardon. You did, he said. Oh, hair black. Your eyes are blue. Ah, listen here, fella, I said. Seriously, man, I swear to you, if I knew that song, I'd sing it for you. Backwards, bilingually, in Cantonese and in Mandarin, in 15, 16 time on an upside down bazooki view, so wished. Tuned for the crack, why not a B flat? Well, I can't deliver that to you, man, but it's a little easier than what you do. Listen carefully, yeah? I actually don't know that song. I'm really, really sorry about that. Yeah, Dilly said. Yeah, Dilly said, my wife saw you sing that song. She said, you're very good. No way, I said. Your wife is always tested. She could not have seen me singing that song for the simple reason that please you, sir, concentrate. We're not having a debate, yeah. This is a nailed-on fact. Surely to God, I should know what it is. I know, I don't know. And I'm telling you right now, I swear to God, I don't know that song. Now, please you, sir, for the sake of my sanity, you're not following me about the Galway girl, okay? Yeah? Thank you. That's my wife over there, he said. Pointing to a girl sitting up on a high stool wearing a nice tight white t-shirt with words, I'm a Galway girl and blazing up my chest. My wife is from Galway, he said. Really? I said, how in the name of God do I have not seen them coming? It's all blocked late today, he said. So what song, he said. She'd be very grateful if you sang the song for Galway. What song? A Galway girl. Oh, for the love of all the soul, listen here to me, you, me, and your tall free, come on, Galway. I've never lived an upright day, been more tired than I've ever reversed in the bottom in all my life. Your wife, I said, bless her, she looks like a nice girl, you're lucky. But she did not see me sing that song. She made a mistake. God love her. Not the first or worst mistake she ever made in her life, God love her. Oh, she never married in her right hand like you in the first place, I don't know. But that's beside the point, yeah? And I said, that's a lovely t-shirt she's wearing. And I said, if you don't mind me saying so, she fills it out beautifully. But her only gorgeous, only tip die for heaven, blessed Zeppelin S85 style, super size, double XL, YZ, only mate, lives in press. But that's also beside the point, yeah? I don't care how late when your wife was prepared to meet me, and she jumped up and down excitedly, non-stop for a couple of half hours in front of me, with or without her t-shirt. Either way, it wouldn't make a mind with a difference. I wouldn't suddenly miraculously remember the words of a song that I never knew in the first place. Now, read my lips, dumbnuts. I don't know the Galway. Flipping girl, okay, now go away, leave me alone. Yeah, Dilly said, what? Do you know that song? I woke up and she was gone. Oh, for God's sake, stop it, ish. Enough of this nightmare. I'm hoping, I said, I'm going to wake up any second now, and I'm hoping you gone, you monumental moron. Did your mother, father, slash sister drop you on your head when you were a child? No, he said. Well, maybe she should have. What a lost opportunity. You might be better off. The whole world might be better off. Listen here, I said. You say it's your wife's birthday. Where I'm sitting, it feels more like groundhog flipping me. Or else say wormhole has opened up the time-space continuum. He falls through into the worst ever he has for others. And you will beg it, beg it, play. But either way, you are melting my face. And throwing the last few remaining brain cells I've got left. Listen here, I said, do me a favor, do your wife a favor, do yourself a favor, do the whole world a favor. Bring your wife to Specsavers, buy her a pair of glasses. And while you're there, get yourself a pair of hearing aids, you deaf cretin. From what? Backward, unforgiving planet. Where are you from? I'm from Cabin, he said. My wife's in Galway. Really, I said. And tell me this much. Flavins for brains. Have you got children? No, he said. Well, keep it that way, you fool. The future of this country is bleak enough without you contributing to the gene pool. And with that, the door open, who walked in on me? Steve Earl Mundy and the whole of the Sharon Chandler Jackie Band. Come here, Steve Mundy, would you sing that song? There's it, Steve. I can hear James. So is Mundy, but for God's sake. And I turned to the fellow from Cabin. And in the words of Joe Pesci, portraying the character Leo Gates from the movie Lethal Weapon 2, I said, okay, 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 okay! I give up, I said, I'll sing the song, I won't commission. You never talk to me again, and even though I didn't know the song, I had to get the ape out of my face. So I sang the song anyway. Hair's black, her eyes open. What's a fella supposed to do? You woke up and she was gone. None of us blame her one tiny little bit. I don't know this flippin' sap or singing it anyway or together. Galway girl, here a girl, there a girl, everywhere a girl.
Cool. I actually can't read. It's a.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. It isn't actually. It isn't you. It's a. Chris. Crow. Is it a P or an R? C?
Wow.
I really don't know what this is, but
what number is it?
Number 8.
Huh?
Number 8. If you think about it, you come up and have a look, because it's not Patricia Walsh, it's not Cedric, it's not Max Breeden, it's not Pat Cotter, it's not Sandra McShane, and it's not Christy. So if that isn't your name and you're on the list, it's probably you. So.
No.
Charles, Jesus Christ!
Volunteering.
Dr. Patrick.
Difficult to follow. Nice. Something of a nice. These people, somebody has pointed out to me that I seem to be interested in history. And I'm continuing this tour with something that comes from the Spanish Civil War, in fact. Before the Civil War, a man on stilts walked narrow streets in a fine ceremony. A row of children, besides, kept their distance. The rough whitewashed houses contrasted with the festive garb from the golden age of Spain. Was his job hereditary in a guild? Was he a tent maker, a haberdasher, a cloth worker, a merchant, or perhaps a shepherd from the hills? It was before the Civil War, the events of another time, from an old photograph which we do not quite understand.
There's pathetic fallacy is kind of like attributing human attributes to inanimate objects. For example, if it's raining, it's depressing. If it's sunshine, it's happy. But in archaeology, it's kind of a bit different. If it's raining, it's a time of jubilation because you get to go and sit in the cabin and just do nothing but all day. So, up until then, the weather in Battle of the Third was rather tactful. If it rained, it rained from 5:30 p.m. and ceased about 7 a.m., just in time for breakfast. Today, however, was different. John was the first to get up, and in doing so, opened the skylight window wide. Hey, there's a surprise for you. Paul squirmed in his bread. What's it now? Surprise, it's raining. Wow, and it's proper rain. I tell you, God, I should hate homosexuals a bit more often. Well, that means that I, actually, no, if we don't turn up, we won't get paid. And St. Swithin's Day, even better. St. what? St. Swithin. So, well, it's said if it rains on St. Swithin's Day, it'll be rain for the next 40 days. Where's your Anglo-Saxon studies? Right, so you're hoping to get rained up for the whole month and not do any digging. Precisely. Know any good rain dances just in case? Paul stops you to fall on the bed. Well, what if it clears up later? What if today is hot again? Well, I tell you, I'm going to travel my carbon emissions, use heavily leaded petrol, and use everything that still exists with CFCs just to piss that bastard nature off. Well, come on, we don't want to piss the crew off. As far as weather concerned in Balabasar, it turned out to be pathetic fallacy in reverse. Naming when it was raining, there was jubilation. In a cabin, there are people reading magazines, playing card games, talking shite. Well, he's been shoveling shite, quips Sam. Kate was in the far corner of the cabin, enjoying a very loud game of Snap with Allison. Snap! 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 Dan produced a hand shovel. Make it more interesting. Anna dared to look outside the drawer, the only member of staff to do so. I like that sight. A rain, said Sheila? Oh yeah, God, it is heavy rain. It's practically raining cats and dogs. You mean raining men. Knowing you, that would be. Ha ha. Isn't that a bit dangerous, just if not practical? Clock, clock, clock. I mean, those that hit the ground die on impact. What would happen if they hit you? An umbrella wouldn't help you either, if you asked me to stick with hailstones. Now put your boots too close to the heater, Dan. His well isn't melted. Ha ha. God, his face is even like melted welly. Jack Kate's boyfriend jumped out suddenly. Jack came from Wales and was, according to which account you believe, conceived at the wrong time in Woodstock Festival. While I'm not that sure about the veracity of his parentage, it probably stood to reason that his stepmother smoked dope right through his pregnancy, but he couldn't get enough of himself. It's rumoured as well that he is barred from every archaeology society in the country, probably for that reason. He was beyond doubt a gifted guitarist, but his songs betrayed his lunacy, which for those listening on a purely entertainment level was not a bad trait to have. Thanks.
Thank you, Trish. And next stage week, please.
This one is called Force Back Hindrance. They struggle hard forward, breaking grim world records. Should they be surprised to make twisted sense of fragmented history? Hopes used as a glue to hold the painful rationality of facts fuel the blaze to the book of memories. Dirt and ashes always look the same, regardless whom they are from. Only the seed one obviously saw may bring a surprise as one watches the flower grow. Because they repeat themselves, they will fire. They may forget. They should forget. But do they know?
That's right.
Flashbacks. So hauling or pot?
Sure.
Hauling or pot? Next we have Pat Potter, please. Are you sure? No butter. It's disappointing, but... Alright, Sandra McShane. Isn't here anymore.
Sandra.
Sandra.
Yes.
Yeah,
it is.
Sandra McShane.
I don't have a problem, just that song.
Take it away.
Automatic out of control. Shooting down through a golf is bowling. Then look in the mirror, see who's looking back at you. I can see ya split right down the middle. Don't matter to me, no, don't matter to me. For someone's living in a fantasy, someone's doing it, and someone looks like you. Friends and lovers in ecstasy, pawns on a chessboard to you. What's the point of these games? You end up losing time after time, searching every street corner, but still you're blind. Every one of these games you end up losing time after time, searching every street corner, but still you're blind. And if life is a game, it's not to see how high you can climb. But did you play your part in helping us all have the time of our lives? It don't matter to me. No, it don't matter to me. Look in the mirror, see who's looking back at you. I can see ya split right down the middle. And whatever your philosophy, when anyone else could see in them seeing eyes, see straight through. Don't matter to me. No, it don't matter to me. What's the point of these games? You end up losing time after time, searching every street corner, but still you're blind. And if life is a game, it's not to see how high you can climb. Did you play your part in helping us all have the time of our lives? It don't matter to me. No, it don't matter to me.
Thanks very much, Sandra. And to finish tonight, Christy Parker, please.
Yeah.
I clear the house, you know.
I was going to read this poem here, but it's like 17 pages.
Now go on.
I'll read something instead from my own collection here, and it's shorter. And if you come back next week, I'll read the one 17 pages long. Because I have to wait before thinking. Can I have a number between 1 and 64? And I'll read something like this.
21.
What?
21.
Okay, I'll read page 59. I'm dedicating this to everybody who stands too close to everybody else. It's called I'm an eavesdropper. I am an eavesdropper. Dropping eaves is what I do. I am the man unnoticed at the table next to you. I read the paper, I sip my tea, I idle time away. My one intent is being bent on noting what you say. As I am an eavesdropper, I live in other people's lives. You'll see me hanging round where idle chatter tries. I linger in the queues, I loiter in the shops, and I lean against the wall amongst people at bus stops. I talk to you down in the pub, but my mind, you'll find, is focused on the couple who are standing just behind. At parties, I can drink or dance, but always in the room, I listen to what is said by who and about whom. Each syllable and tale you tell is music to my ears, as I gather news and points of views and hear of other spheres. I fight it all inside my brain, and when the night is gone, I find another ear or two and pass the rumours on. So you say your father has found work, but is careful to use tact, in case the social welfare should get notice of the fact. And she in number 33 is pregnant once again, and the father is the curate who baptized the other 10. There is water and whiskey in a pub we all hold dear, and a pair of nuns who use the place are pushing drugs you hear. And a doctor told a barrister whose names you cannot give, that the counsellor who left his wife is but a week to live. A friend of long acquaintance and a most reliable source says the sergeant is about to be obliged to leave the force. Apparently the super found him parked behind the bank, on his knees beside the squad, siphoning from the tank. The undertaker will be sued by the dead man's next of kin because they found the missing corpse inside a wheelie bin. Tis true, oh God, tis true. Have no doubt about it, folks. Twas said to me inside at mass by a man who never jokes. You won't hear it from the radio or read it in the paper, but what I say to you, my friend, will be in the open letter. And remember when you heard it first and put you in the know. Oh, by the way, did you hear the news about Peter's brother Joe? I am an eavesdropper. Dropping eaves is what I do. I take a tale and never fail to make it whole and true. My ears are pricked, my brain is quick, I'm a conversational bum. I love the sounds that come around and bang on my eardrum. Thank you.